So the third hat is geographer. So when we talk about geography, we're talking about very local geography. We're just talking about the geography or the local plant environment. It's not enough for somebody to fill out a little form and say that they live in Eagle, Wisconsin. I want to know more. I want to know what kind of soil you have. Is it clay or silt or sand? If they don't know, if they can't give you an idea, most people who have dug a hole in their yard have a notion of what their soil is like. But if they don't know, you can look up their address and make sure that you know the sample is from the address they're putting on the form, or you can get another address that helps you know where the plant lives. So you can look up that address in a soil map and get a pretty good ballpark answer of what kind of soil they have. Once you have a lot of experience, you might have a pretty good idea of the different types of soil in your area. If you can get an actual soil test or a soil pH, that's really, really great. Some counties have more consistent soil types than others. There are a lot of different problems that we might see if the plant and the soil type is not compatible. The soil compatibility issue is a really common problem in southeast Wisconsin. Our soils are mostly clay, and the soil pH is high. Most of the soil samples I see come through our office are usually in the upper sevens, 7.8, 7.9, and some of them go up to around 8.4, which is a very alkaline soil. When you're in southeast Wisconsin and you have a very alkaline soil and you pop some of those lovely blueberries that you found at the garden center, or you put a river birch in your yard, chances are you're going to, over a period of time, start to see problems. The soils with high pH, these clay soils, they have the ability to hold on to the nutrients in the soil. The problem with compatibility isn't related specifically to nutrient deficiencies, which is what we usually see when we have a compatibility issue. The issue really is that clay soils hold on really tightly to their nutrients. So even though the iron or magnesium or other nutrient that the plant isn't getting is there in the soil, the clay soil holds on to it really tightly and doesn't allow the plant to wrestle it away from it. So what we see, especially with these problems in the southeast, is we'll see iron chlorosis or magnesium deficiency in the plants, and really it's just a compatibility issue. There was nothing wrong with the plant, there's nothing really wrong with the soil, it's just the two can't get along. So even if we choose the right plant for our soil, or the plant that we choose doesn't really care what kind of soil that it's planted in, we still need to think about where the plant is located. So if a plant needs full sun, it may survive but not thrive in a location that has less than full sun. Many people don't think about where the shadows fall in their yard. We have the shadows from your house, the shadow from the neighbor's house, the shadows from trees in the yard. There's all sorts of different ways that shadows can be cast in the yard, and it's important to think about where those shadows fall throughout the day. Some plants can handle a lot of light and a lot of heat, and even though a plant might look really nice on a southern exposure in that particular bed, it might not be well suited for that kind of environment. So a plant otherwise just fine in the wrong environment isn't going to do well. The other thing people don't think about is changes over time. So over time, things in our yards can change. I see this especially with landscapes that were young, and then over a period of 10 to 15 years, the trees have grown, things have been built, the landscape has changed, and all of a sudden, the lilac in the corner of the house doesn't bloom anymore, or something else that needs full sun, because of these new shadows, just isn't getting enough sun to really thrive and do well. Shade isn't the only variable. Plants become overcrowded. You might plant a plant under the eave of your roof so that the water doesn't get to it. We build decks, we build planters around the base of trees, which is just scary. The utility companies dig up our yards. Plants receive too much wind. Your neighbor cuts down a really important tree, and all of a sudden, your plants that were in shade are no longer in shade. Plants get splashed by road salt. There's a lot going on in that local environment, and it's really important to think about that local environment, ask about it, have them draw a picture. Sometimes that's really helpful, especially when we go back and want to think about things again. So just get as much information about that local environment as you can so that we can try to figure out how that contributes to whatever the problem, or if it even is a contributing factor. Another good tool for evaluating the local environment is spread. It's good to think about if the problem is only on one plant or one kind of plant, or if it seems to be spread across different kinds of plants. So a disease may affect just one species, like Prunus, and you may see it on different plants in your yard, but all of the Prunus species. Or you may find that all of the problem exists in one bed. So it's in the southeast corner of the yard, and everything in that bed is curled and contorted and just looks bad. Looking at if the problem with the plants is happening across a range of plants, different species, or if it seems to be on one specific kind of plant or one specific species can be really useful in trying to figure out if a disease might be cultural or if it might be fungal or insect related.